The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder. On previous shows, you've heard me say often that politics must be practical, even for Christians who like to be so idealistic. You have heard me say that whatever character flaws President Trump may have, real or incorrectly perceived, we are not voting for Christ. We are voting for president. Well, okay then, what kinds of qualities should we expect from a president? For one thing, a person who keeps his campaign promises. Now, I know that in Washington, that's a whole new idea. It takes a little getting used to. President Trump has lowered unemployment drastically, including record lows for African Americans and Latinos, a fact ignored by the media because it contradicts their narrative of him being a racist. President Trump has also brought overseas jobs back to the United States, removed ghastly, strangling government regulations from businesses, stood up to our enemies instead of paying them billions of dollars while they chant death to America, appointed judges who actually rule based on what the Constitution says instead of what they want it to say, leveled the international trading field, insisted our NATO allies pay their fair share, strengthen our borders, challenge the vile United Nations on matters such as religious persecution and abortion, and relocated our embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, something many other presidents have promised without following through. But what difference does any of this stuff make? Democratic candidate Andrew Yang of New York can shred on a skateboard. Well, that settles it for me. You know, up to now, I've been very concerned that our presidents have not been able to master their skateboards. It's literally kept me up at nights. And now let me introduce a man who is skilled on or off a skateboard. Say hello to Pastor Jim Barrier.
Well, you know, Bob, I started riding skateboards over 50 years ago.
Did you really? I have never been on one in my life. Well, I've stepped on one. I've never tried to actually ride one.
Well, and we used to make our own in those days. By the time you got to junior high, you'd go to wood shop and you'd build a skateboard. It was literally a skateboard. You get a piece of wood and you take the wheels off of an old skate and attach them on there, and my, how that thing has progressed. But that does not qualify me to run for president.
And I was going to say, I did used to go to roller skating rinks when I was in high school and college just to pick up on girls. I actually got pretty good on the skates, but you know, never once did I think, boy, I'm good on this pair of skates. I should run for president. Never happened.
Well, you know, you might have missed an opportunity there, Bob.
Yeah, well, if I knew what the climate was going to be someday, maybe.
I was more interested in how was your success rate on picking up girls. Did that work for you?
Oh, that did, actually. But we won't get into that. My wife is listening.
Yeah, it's not the topic of the evening.
So, well, that was when I was young and in shape and when I was single and free to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I hear myself talking like that a lot these days. But,
we're getting old and we're reminiscing the younger days.
Well, we're vintage. We're vintage.
Vintage. Bob. Oh, I like that word better. Yes, we're vintage.
Yeah, we're vintage.
Yes, like a fine wine.
Now, exactly. Now, before we jump into the topic tonight, we have a lot to talk about, I think, but I know you must have caught this along the way, but someone asked Hillary about Joe Biden and his creepy habit of touching women, young and old, and those things. If, you know, it's a little weird. And someone asked Hillary about it, and you know what her response was? You need to just get over it.
Well, yeah. Well, she had a lot of years rehearsing defending her husband, so I'm not surprised she said that.
But I'm thinking of any high-profile person on the planet today to say, get over it. She's been the absolute worst at not getting over it for 3 years. She's still whining about why she lost the election. Oh, Hillary!
I know. Remember in that last debate with President Trump when they asked him if he would accept the results, and he said, as long as it's not fixed, and you were listening to Hillary, I am very concerned. Very concerned about the constitutional crisis it could create if somebody doesn't accept election results. That's because they assumed she was going to win. If it had occurred to her for a second that he might win, she wouldn't have said that.
Well, I thought she was going to. We all kind of thought that it was a done deal. But they, you know, by now we have figured out that there are some politicians and people in that whole arena that say whatever is convenient. But they will change their tune. They will change their narrative to whatever is convenient to get what they want. And so I have a hard time believing most of these people. And I loved your intro because, again, I always qualify this, like him or not, personality-wise, I have been time and again surprised that this man has done his best effort to keep his promises. And the only times he hasn't been able to is when he got so much resistance from Congress and the Senate that he hasn't been able to do what he promised to do.
And yet even then you see how much he's trying. Look what he's been able to accomplish on the border against all odds, but obviously not as much as he was hoping to. I think President Trump, being a businessman and not a politician, He was so surprised when even the Democrats on the other side of the aisle wouldn't work with him. He just wasn't expecting that to happen. And although he called Washington a swamp, I don't think he was prepared for the kind of swamp that it actually was. I don't think he was even close to the depth of that swamp in his mind.
Well, I don't know if anybody anticipated the resistance, the war, the treason, just the treachery, the lying, the things that have gone on, it's just blown me away.
And the stupidity. College campuses setting up crying rooms so that people can go and cry about Trump being elected.
I have great concerns about the future and the generation it's in the hands of. I know there are some great young people. I know them. I know some awesome people, but the stereotypes that are out there and the crazy political correctness and all of these things, it's so far out of control and far from reality. It's blowing my mind.
I heard a millennial interviewed the other day. He was going to cut his mother out of his life because she didn't have as big of a following on Facebook as she should. I thought I was listening to a live version of The Onion. This guy was dead serious.
That's the thing, you know. Yeah, there's. I know you follow some of those. Have you followed the Babylon Bee?
Yes, I read a thing just this morning, and I'm going, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. This is the Bee.
It's hilarious. But some of those, I have to make sure and check the source because there are parodies and lampoons and things, and they get mixed up. And sometimes then some of our well-meaning friends will quote something, and it was a satire, and they think it was true, and they put it on, and then they get all kinds of flack.
But you know what, Jim? The very fact that we're so easily ready to believe that from the left shows how bad it's gotten. I don't think the Bee and the Onion can keep up with the stupidity that's really truly in the news.
You know, I must have most of my life underestimated the power of stupidity. And it's incredible the things that people believe, the things that people say, and they seem to have real conviction when they say these things. And I want to ask them, did you hear what you just said? But it's a crazy time right now, Bob, and I think we have reaped what we have sown. I say we collectively. It was really before this, but in the 60s and 70s, the whole the postmodern thing and relativism and situational ethics and all of those things have all now become the norm, and now we're paying for it.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't say something to somebody and expect them to agree with you simply because it's true.
No, truth has no
facts. My mind is made up.
Truth has nothing to do with it. If a 300-pound man decides that he's a 20-pound woman, who are we to judge? Who are we to judge?
Yeah. Well, you know, and so I'm identifying as a 22-year-old.
That's right. We were lamenting not being young. You know, Jim, I feel like I'm 22, and I think if anyone writes and tells me otherwise, I'm going to sue them.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to claim great distress and great duress, and I'm going to be offended.
And we'll put you in a cry room.
With a coloring book in crayons.
Oh, man. Well, now, I don't know. You have to be careful because that could become a racial thing. In fact, we're going to have to call them...
We can't use the word coloring book anymore?
No, you can't use the word colored anymore. Yeah, and help me with that. I don't know. See, we've already got on a rabbit trail here, but I have had a hard time understanding why you can't say colored people, but you can say people of color. I don't know what the difference in that is. So I don't see either one.
Because in every generation, there's an acceptable word, and then there's one that is... Have you heard that in New York City now, they have banned the phrase illegal alien? Depending on how you say it, depending on if they judge subjectively and arbitrarily that you didn't have hatred or animosity when you said it, then maybe. But the phrase undocumented worker has not been banned. It means the same thing. We're reacting to sounds and emotions instead of actual facts.
Yeah. And if there's any place that might rival your state of California for silliness and insanity, New York is just running neck and neck with some of the laws they're passing and the things they're doing.
Yeah, well, New York City, upstate New York is kind of conservative, but actually that's kind of true of California once you get out of L.A. and San Francisco. Well, in Sacramento, so.
Yeah, and you know, I got out a long time ago.
You were smart.
We did that show a couple of years ago, and the difference between California and Texas. By the way, there's going to be a ballot on our, a bill on our ballot coming up in the next election, and it's about state income tax because we're one of the few states left, one of the holdouts.
Well, of course, Jim, because everybody who fled California because they couldn't stand the government strangleholds are now doing their best to turn Texas into California. It's insane. Well, we'll be right back.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 96.1 FM, 1170 AM, The Answer. And welcome back, Pastor Jim Barrier.
Thanks. And, you know, we always get off to a start. We just start running with whatever is floating around out there. We had planned tonight, I wanted to talk a little bit about this subject. You and I have talked about this, about the Christian's role in honoring the government, submitting to the government, the authorities that are given to be over us, and what our attitude and our behavior should be after we just spent 15 minutes lambasting some people. But this is a thing that it's really been an issue for me for a long, long time, and I feel like God has dealt with me on a personal level with some things where I needed to keep things in check and have a good conscience and be a responsible person representing my faith, and at the same time knowing that there's a lot of problems with the government and with politics. But let me just read this scripture. You're very familiar with this one. I want to read this out of 1 Timothy. And Timothy was a disciple of Paul. He called him his son. Paul called Timothy his son in the faith, and he was mentoring him and giving him principles by which to guide the flock that he was pastoring. And he says, first of all, I urge you that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. So far, so good. And then he says, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. That's a tough scripture.
Well, it's an important one, though, because Christians were not allowed to go and vote on who their kings were going to be. People often say, well, the Bible doesn't encourage Christians to get political. The Apostle Paul was a Roman citizen, and when he was able to use that, he did. He used his rights as a Roman citizen, but he was calling the church to get as involved as they possibly could. What they could do is pray for the king, and he said praying for the king means two things. One, we can live a peaceful life, and two, a peaceful life is more conducive for the spreading of the gospel, which I find very interesting because ever since I got saved in the 70s, I've been hearing Christians talk about how persecution is good for the church. While Paul was willing to suffer for his faith, but apparently he didn't think persecution was all that good for the church because he did not mind praying that we can live a peaceful life. He felt
felt
the gospel would spread better in a time of peace.
Yeah, and that's one of those things, that's one of those great misunderstandings. I, for one, have never been in a big hurry to have persecution happen. And the fact of the matter is, and you've read some church history as I have, but right now on the planet, there are people who are being martyred for their faith.
It's happening in many parts of the world. We're very
probably during the course of this show, there will be somewhere between a dozen and 20
I have no doubt
believers that will be killed just because they're Christians. And they wouldn't wish that on anybody. I'm with you on that. Again, there's a lot of Christian rhetoric as well. And I do understand that persecution will, like a fire, purify, and it will strengthen the church when that happens. But it isn't the desired thing, and it isn't the only way that I think that God can mature his people. But that line in there, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, I'm all for that. Now, sometimes you don't get to do that as much as you want to be peaceful. Paul also had some great wisdom in Romans 12. He said, as much as lieth in you, be at peace with all men. He knew that you couldn't get along with everybody, you know.
Yeah,
and so we have to be realistic about that.
Well, you can't make peace with an evil person. I mean, you can't make deals with an evil person.
And sometimes you can't make peace with somebody. They may not be evil, but they disagree so strongly with you that they will not allow you to have peace.
Give a rational argument to somebody who doesn't know how to think. One of my favorite proverbs is the fool isn't interested in learning, only in expressing his opinion.
Well, that says it right there. Well, you know, that may be talking about the political arena today.
Yes.
And that, you know, that's one of my big pet peeves with the church today. We have lost the art or science of teaching our people to think logically, rationally. There's so much is emotionally driven. And people that are around me for any length of time learn quickly that when they make a statement, I'm going to ask, now, why do you say that? Why do you believe that? Support your statement with something substantial. Give me some reason. Give me a reason for why you believe what you believe. And I've said that when we used to do Resistance Radio, that was a core theme in our show, that it's not only important what you believe, but it's important why you believe what you believe. And I talk to not only just people in the pews, but I have friends that are pastors, and they say some of the strangest things. They're not biblical, they're not logical. And I said, well, why do you believe that? And often it's because because I feel this way, or because we're supposed to be loving and kind, and we don't want to offend people, or worse than that, it's because I heard so and so on TV say so, and so it must be true because that man or woman is a great person of God, and so why would they lie? They must be telling the truth.
Usually when Christians argue theology, they're quoting their pastors and not their Bibles. They may refer to a Bible verse, but they're understanding it the way their pastor told them to understand it.
Yeah, and that is a hobby horse for me, and I say frequently to my congregation, don't walk out of here and say, well, Pastor Jim said, you know, you learn it, read your scripture. We've been going for the last year, we've been going through and just, you know, taking classic chapters out of the Bible, and I want people to learn for themselves and have a case, because I can't be there to talk for them when they're talking to their unbelieving friends or even, you know, other Christians who may be in error or whatever the case. You need to be able to articulate for yourself why you believe what you believe, why you're passionate about it, and why it would make any difference at all in someone else's life. And I fear, again, collectively, we as the church in the Western church in the 21st century have done a poor job at preparing our people to do that. And so the throwback, they're just going to say, well, my pastor says, or they'll say, well, here, read this book, or they'll say, you know, you listen to this recording.
Okay, well, hold that thought. We'll be right back. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539. W&S Electric.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book. Adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around. Available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Always good to be joined by my good friend, Jim Barrier.
And that's A Taste of Honey by Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass.
Yeah, one of the best ones they did. I think one of their...
That was one of my best DJ voice.
There you go.
Yeah, remember those days. You always have great music on this show. I love the bumper music.
Well, thank you. Because we're both baby boomers, we may like it more than some of the millennials listening. But then the millennials probably aren't listening anyway. So.
Just to jump for a minute, because I have this conversation a lot with people about the music from my era. Last week, the number one selling album in the UK was the 50-year anniversary re-release of Abbey Road by the Beatles. So the Beatles were at the top of the charts 50 years later. So there must have been some staying power in that music. Okay, back to our program.
We now return to our originally scheduled topic.
Which, you know, every month, the originally scheduled topic just can drift all over the place. But we're talking about the Christian's attitude toward the governmental leadership. And I want to point out, you started to talk about the difference in those days. Those folks were not allowed to vote. Even though Paul himself was a Roman citizen, the rank and file members of the church, they had no say in how the government would operate, but they were still called to pray for the leaders and to be in submission to the leaders. And we're going to read a couple of more passages here. And I mentioned to my congregation all the time, you know, the king that they're told to pray for was killing Christians, you know? Christians were persecuted. They were thrown into the arenas, and Nero would, I've read stories that Nero would dip Christians in oil and hang them on the wall and light them as human torches to light up his garden at night. You know, now how do you pray for someone like that, you know? And then obviously it takes a miracle of grace. You have to be able to do what is impossible in the flesh.
And I don't mind praying that God will take them out, but I'll always include in there, if this person could give their life to Christ and be transformed, so much the better. If they should just step down or retire, so much the better. But any way you want to do it, Lord, if they're evil, please remove them. I don't mind praying that, but I'll certainly include the fact that even a tyrant can give his life to Christ.
Absolutely. And I've said this a number of times. From the time I became a believer, which was 51 years ago, here are the presidents. I don't have it written down, but let's see if I can remember them.
It starts LBJ. With Lincoln and then Johnson, right? And Grant.
LBJ was president when I was first converted, and then we had Richard Nixon, and then Spiro Agnew had to retire, and so we got Gerald Ford became the president, the only president that was never elected but held office. And then, of course, we had Jimmy Carter. And then we had the first Bush. Then we had Reagan after Carter. Then we had Bush. And then we had Clinton. Then we had another Bush. Then we had Obama. And now we have Trump. And that's quite a variety. And there's certainly people of different views and methods. And as a believer, I had to pray for every one of those people. And some of them, it was more challenging to pray. And what I would get to is the place you just mentioned. I would pray, Lord, arrest their heart. Let them find you in the reality of a relationship with you, and let them come to know your grace.
And do you include, if you can't arrest their heart, just really arrest them?
Just arrest them, yeah. No, but honestly, and it's hard, because when there's something about prayer, there's been a lot of great things said about prayer, but prayer isn't so much that you're going to change God's mind, but that he's going to change your heart. Though I do think he responds to prayer, and I think he does listen to his people, but the prayer, the biggest effect of prayer is what it does to me, and I have to get humble and realize, you know, I'm just clay. I'm fallen. I'm broken. And I can't judge anybody else in that sense of that I'm better or more deserving of God's love than anybody else. And so I have to pray with that kind of attitude. So I have prayed for some people in office that I really didn't care for, but it's incumbent upon me as a believer to pray for those people. And then I have to ask the Holy Spirit to help me to know how to pray, because sometimes I don't even know how to pray for those guys. But we can start by saying, God, intervene in their life. And you know, most of the presidents have at least on some level professed to be a person of faith. But whether they're living it or whether there's any evidence in a Christian walk, it's hard to find. But Lord, use that. They've called on your name. They've had prayer breakfast, and they put their hand on a Bible and they took an oath. God, use those things and get into their heart and speak to them and give them your counsel. Give them wisdom. I mean, goodness, the Bible's full of stories of God speaking to people in various methods, whether dreams or angels or prophets. And so I pray that I pray for President Trump.
Well, yeah, look how King Nebuchadnezzar turned around. And yeah. I like what you say. I do believe God will at times call off something he was going to do because of prayer. He was going to destroy Israel. And when Moses intervened, he called it off. However, it's also true, and I also like what you said about how prayer changes us. The theologian J.R. Packer once said, a man is at his sanest while he's praying. And I've always liked that.
Mm. Yeah. So I do that. So, you know, I pray for the president. There's times when I cringe when, you know, he'll say things and I think, I wish he hadn't said it that way. But it's who he is. But I pray for him that he'll hear from God, and I pray that he'll bring people around him. I personally am of the opinion that Mike Pence is a solid believer, and so there's a person very close to the president who attempts to hear from God and believes in God, believes in the Scripture, and so that's a great ally. For
yeah,
the kingdom of God.
It is. And, you know, even if Trump is not a true believer, and I don't always see a lot of fruit, he has done more for the freedom of believers and has done more for the principles we stand for, such as speaking against religious persecution, such as speaking out at the United Nations against abortion, more than some of the ones that we're professing to be. It was amazing. Okay, we will be right back. This is Bob Siegel. Looking for a church? Maybe not. Perhaps you've had your fill of churches. Maybe you even grew up in the church. Maybe as a kid you were dragged to Sunday school against your will. Maybe you used to throw spit wads as Mrs. Pumpernickel tried desperately to interest you in the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. You may have grown up listening to long sermons, anxiously looking at your watch to see how much of the game you were missing at home on TV as the pastor made his 97th point. Or perhaps you were not raised as a Christian at all. Instead, you have merely encountered Christians. Maybe some obnoxious personality tried to shove the gospel down your throat using all the tact of a lawnmower in a barber shop. Well, my friend, perfect Christians don't exist because perfect people don't exist. That's why Jesus died for our sins. So I'm not going to tell you that the people of Skyline Church are perfect. I'm just going to tell you that we come real close. No,
Actually, you'll just find people who struggle with life the same as you. But we're honest about the struggle, and we help each other with the struggle. What you will find is a church that takes the love of Jesus Christ seriously. After all, his message is one of mercy and inclusion, and we don't need 97 points to talk about God. Ask anybody. Our sermons have never made more than 96 points.
Skyline Church.
Back to 96.1 FM, 1170 AM. The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel, joined by Jim Barrier.
Thanks. And so we're talking about our position as believers and our relationship to the government and what our attitude should be. A couple of highlights here. In Titus, when Paul gives similar instruction that he gave to Timothy, he says to malign no one. And that's one of the things I have to be careful about. I think we need to speak the truth. We need to talk about things when there's a problem, when there's an issue. But when it gets into name-calling and hatred, which that's a buzzword right now, but I can get angry. And I have to be careful that I don't say things about people that I disagree with who are in power in a malicious way where I assassinate their character or attack them. I can certainly challenge.
Well, you can call them out. You can call their character out, but making fun of the way they look or something like that.
Yeah, that so you understand the difference I'm talking about there. And so we need to be careful with that. And then Peter talks about it, and he says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. And there's a little insight there. You're not doing this because you're trying to suck up to anybody or trying to be politically correct or any of that, but for the Lord's sake, there's an element there that we represent him in everything we do. And there have been some great men and women of God who have hobnobbed with those powers in D.C. I think of Peter Marshall. I think you're familiar with him. He spoke with the Senate and the Congress, and he did it in a godly way. And you know, the great Billy Graham often spoke with presidents, and there have been people that God has allowed to have audience with the most powerful people in our land, and they've done it in a way where they represented themselves and they represented their Savior. And we're not an embarrassment, I think, to him. So we need to do things for his sake and do things in a way that would be pleasing and representative of the Savior that we love. Then in Hebrews, I always have to, the writer of the book of Hebrews, we always say that, you know, the writer of the book of Hebrews.
Since nobody knows who the writer of the book of Hebrews was.
Nobody knows, he certainly seemed to be very consistent with a lot of the epistles in the book. But he says, obey the leaders, submit to them, they keep watch over your souls, and they will give an account. Now, that's something that I think should help our Christian listeners. You are having an attitude of respect for the authority and praying for the government and those kind of things. They will give an account. There will be a time when God will settle all the scores. And this is a consistent theme. Again, back over in Romans, you know, he says, leave room for the wrath of God. Don't repay evil with evil. And that's one of my concerns right now in the Christian community, is that people, if we're not careful, will lower ourselves to the level of the very people that we're upset with, and we can start the name calling, we can become hateful, we can become belligerent, we can start bullying, we could become violent in our protests. I always had great respect for Martin Luther King Jr. because he did protest, he demonstrated, he did those things, but he did it in a peaceful way. And I think he would be very, very ashamed of some of the things that have been going on in recent years in our culture.
You and I both know his niece, and she is very ashamed.
Yeah, and she's a delightful person, Alveda King, and I know you had her on the show, and I got to share the stage with her one night. It was a high moment in my life, and she understands that there's a way to passively resist. You can be vocal, you can take a stand, you may take some heat for it, but you don't have to lower yourself to the methodology of the anarchists and the people that are out there throwing rocks and doing violence. I don't believe in doing that. So they will give an account. The authorities, they will answer to God someday for how they have handled their position of power and authority, and that will be a day of reckoning for many. And then the biggest scripture, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but if you read Romans chapter 13, and particularly the first 7 verses, and I'm not even going to read all of those, but he says, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. That's a tough pill to swallow. I know you've talked on the show about, do we have the government we deserve? Does God give us the government we deserve? And I think there's some evidence to that type of thinking. You can see in the Bible that often Israel was back in exile or in slavery because they were being disobedient, they were worshiping false gods, and so he allowed them for a season to be ruled by someone who was not God-fearing.
Yeah, and just to eliminate some of the confusion for those who may not know the Bible that well, that doesn't mean that God was cooperating with or condoning evil. It just meant he was lifting up his hand of protection. After the Babylonians conquered Israel, and several prophets had gone and said, you're going to get conquered by the Babylonians because of your sin. Yep. But then God sent prophets to the Babylonians and said, how dare you conquer my people Israel? So what God in his sovereignty will allow and what God condones, they are not the same thing.
And that's where there is confusion sometimes. He allows a lot. I went off on somebody on Facebook. I do a lot of venting on Facebook. And I was on a thread having a conversation with a friend of mine. It was an innocent conversation. And somebody else jumped in and said, well, God's in control of the world. And I jumped all over. I said, you know, if God's in control of the world, he's doing a lousy job. You know? So much of the things that are happening on this planet, if I'm going to say that God is the source of that, if he's causing those things to happen, I question his character.
Well, he's not controlling it according to his ideal will, but he does have what we call his permissive will.
Well, I just think the will, that is the key word. We have free will. Human beings, for some reason in God's infinite wisdom, he has allowed us to have a choice. And the track record has not been good. Human beings have been pretty consistent in making bad choices. And I have made some bad choices, and I can't blame God for that when I've made a bad choice. And there will be consequences to those choices, and there's a difference between consequence and sanction, which is a whole other show. There are things that are bad on the planet, and I'm not going to blame God for that.
Exactly. We don't blame Henry Ford every time there's an automobile accident because we know he created the automobile for good. We'll be right back. Buying a home? Selling a home? It goes without saying that you need somebody experienced and skilled, but you also need a realtor you can trust, a man who will look out for your interests as if they were his own. This is Bob Siegel, here to steer you the right direction with just two words, Fred Valduti. Fred works with Realty Executives All Area, a company that has sold thousands of homes locally since 1994. Putting your home up for sale or selling a home can be stressful, filled with decisions you never anticipated. So put your mind at ease and call Fred Falduti. He sold my home for me at top price. Every step along the way, I benefited from his wisdom
and a very generous usage of his time. By the way, Fred Falduti received the Executive of the Year Award for 2014. What? You say that was a couple of years ago? Listen, wise guy, do you want to mark the calendar or do you want somebody to sell your home for you? Whether buying or selling, the man you want is Fred Falduti with Realty Executives All Area, 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717 or fredfalduti.com.
Not sure when to try an unusual novel? Let the customers speak for themselves. Here is another Amazon customer review for Bob Siegel's latest book, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. While there is nothing in this book that would stop you from giving it to or reading it to your kids, this book will certainly hold an adult's interest as well. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has it all. Magic, talking cats, bullies who get their comeuppance, fun dialogue, and a good story. Do not let the title fool you. While Christmas does play a prominent role, this is really not a Christmas story, and it can be read at any time of the year, except February 31st. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Well, Jim, we're down to our last segment. Always great having you on the show.
I know. And I feel like I need to once again remind our listeners that the views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Bob Siegel, KCBQ, or the Salem Broadcasting Network.
Well, they may necessarily be of Bob Siegel. I don't know about the others. I don't think I'm off the hook.
No, but when I made the statement about
the views that you share,
that I share.
I'll go to the guy.
When I said, that if God's in control of the world, he's doing a lousy job, I just apprehended that might have set somebody off. Understand that I'm talking about the atrocities, the violence, the evil, the things that are happening. Those are not things that God wants.
You meant people are not lined up with God's will.
Exactly. So, thank you for clearing that up for me. I feel better now.
I appreciated it, Jim.
I know you're here for me. So, to kind of wrap things up with what I've been trying to express this evening is that Christians do need to be active. We've covered that. We did a whole show about that. Christians do need to be involved. I have voted. When I turned 18, I voted for the first time in my life. I have voted in every election. Since then, one of the things I'm very pleased about, I'm getting ready to retire from the church I pastor. And when I first came in there, and it's an inner city church, very multicultural, very eclectic congregation, and I asked for a show of hands, how many of you are registered to vote? And about a third of the congregation had never registered. And I brought voter registration cards in, and I helped everybody to register to vote. I did not tell them who to vote for or how to vote, but I said, I will explain everything to you, and this is what it means if you vote yes on this bill, this is what it means if you vote no, and here are some of the things that this candidate has said, and I helped them, I stopped short of telling them how to vote, but I was so proud of the fact that we had that many people who voted for the first time in their lives and have been voting since. So, yes, Christians do need to be involved on that level. And beyond voting, we need to speak the truth in love. And we need to sign petitions when it's called for. Go and take a stand. Go to a town hall meeting. Do whatever things that you can to be a voice. We do need to be involved in the process.
Well, as you were talking about encouraging people to vote, I'm glad you brought in the part about educating them on the issues, because the only wrinkle I like to add when we talk about voting is that if somebody's uninformed, I don't want them to vote. I'm not really a big believer in get out the vote, because there's a lot of people that are voting that should not be voting because they are not really following the issues. And they're going they're doing eeny, meeny, miny, mo, or voting based on what they heard around the water cooler. And so I'm not all that thrilled about everybody voting.
No, but I am, and I say vote educated and vote your conscience. And I'll help you with that. And in fact, this morning, one of my guys, Aaron, at the end of service, mentioned the ballot measure that I referred to earlier.
Well, tell us about that. Why in the world does Texas want to vote state income tax for themselves?
They don't. They're nervous. Some of the conservative people see what's going on in the nation, so the bill is going to make it law that they can never have state income tax in Texas.
They're passing a bill to not. I didn't get that part. Well, that sounds like a good bill.
It's a great bill. And,
of course,
and
some judge might rule it unconstitutional. You're aware.
Well,
of that.
You know what? We'll burn that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah, and in Texas, they may really burn that bridge.
But we have some great laws in this state. I've mentioned before, we have they passed it a couple of years ago. It's called the Pastor Protection Bill. I cannot be charged with a crime or sued by someone if I refuse to do a same-sex marriage.
Oh, I am so glad they're passing bills like that. Yeah. I thought you were going to tell me they were going to pass a bill that Californians aren't allowed to relocate over there anymore because too many of us are coming over to Texas.
No, there are signs that just say, stay on I-40 and keep going until you get out of Texas. Welcome to Texas.
Welcome to Texas. Have a good time and please leave.
There are some things I love about this state. Not the weather, but I love the political climate. And I love the fact that most people are at least nominal believers. We are on the shiny belt buckle of the Bible Belt down here. And so I don't get as much resistance as I might if I were pastoring in California on things that just seem to me to be common sense and moral issues that should have never even been up for grabs. But we need to be involved, but we do need to have respect for the authorities because God placed them there. And we have to recognize that and cooperate with the Lordship of Christ and the authority of Almighty God, who is above all authority. And after all, didn't Jesus say, my kingdom is not of this world? Now we have to remind ourselves we're part of something much bigger than what goes on this planet.
And we have the hope that Jesus will return and will bring his kingdom to this world someday.
Someday. And it might be in our lifetime. I don't know. But for now, I'm going to occupy and I'm going to try to live a godly life and be a godly influence and help others to do the same. And I thank you, Bob Siegel, because you've been doing that for so many years with your show. And it's a much, much needed voice. And so thank you so much for what you do.
Well, I appreciate that. And thank you for being such a part of it. It's been great having you on once a month.
Yeah, you know, it's become a part of my life. And when I retire from the church, I am not retiring from my radio career.
No, we'll have you on as much as possible.
I hope so. So I finished before the music started.
Oh, my goodness. You actually finished ahead of time?
Any closing thoughts?
Well, I'll give you, I've got a joke just for such an occasion. We've talked before about the Calvinists and the Arminians. Of course, the Calvinists believe in predestination and that we don't have free will. The Arminians believe we do. So some Calvinists and Arminians were having a Bible study together. They couldn't get along, so they got into two groups. Well, one guy was there. He was undecided. So he wasn't sure which group to get into. So he went and sat down with the Calvinists. They said, what are you doing here? He goes, oh, I don't know. They said, well, why are you here? He says, I don't know. I just decided to come. They said, decided? Decided? You think you decided something? You don't belong in our group. So then he went over to the Arminians. They said, well, why are you here? And he said, I was sent. They said, sent? You think you were sent? Anyway, kind of an in-house joke. You got to kind of know Calvinism and Arminianism.
That came up in
my Sunday school class today. So
I am that man, Bob.
When you're on the radio, it's always good to have a spare joke. Well, there's the music, so I don't have to come up with my Judas with the British accent joke. Good. Maybe I'll do that one next week. Okay. All right, Jim, it was a pleasure, and we'll see you one of the Sundays in November.
You got it.
All right, talk to you later. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.